Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, beautiful people, and welcome to Personal Hearts Radio. I'm extremely excited to be joining you and blessing you with what the word of the Lord will have to say through me to you. Again, Happy New Year, if I haven't already told you. The last time I spoke with you was before Christmas, and I just want to say that you are extremely blessed and highly favored. No matter what is going on in the world, no matter who's president, no matter what's going on in your family, remember, you matter. You are still alive. You are still on this earth. You can still make a difference. Jesus Christ is still King. And no matter where you are or what you're doing, you could still cry out to Him, Abba, Father, help me. Ayúdame is what they say in Spanish. Help me. Help me, Señor. Help me, Lord. Wherever you are, cry out to Jesus. Wherever you are, cry out to Him. Ask Him for help. Seek His face. It doesn't matter if you think you've done the worst sin. There's no sin that is greater than death and hell. When a person leaves this world and they fall into hell, there's no more time to repent of sins. And so you could think you're the biggest criminal or the biggest liar or the biggest thief or whatever you've done. You're still alive and you could repent of your sins. And you could ask Jesus Christ to help you and dig you up out of from where you are. And He'll do it because He loves you. And Jesus is concerned with your eternity, with your fate. He is concerned with that. And someone will say, Leah, why is Jesus concerned with my fate, my eternal purpose? Because the road that you lead in this life will determine the life that you will have after you leave this life. Your actions, your life, your choices, they all lead to one thing, and it's called eternity. You see, there's a song or actually a movie that says all dogs go to heaven. Well, that's not necessarily true because a dog has a soul. Animals have souls. We have spirits and souls and body. Our soul is tied to our body, but our real person is our spirit. An animal is tied to their body, so when they die, their soul dies with them. But when we leave this earth, our body dies in the ground, and our soul goes with it, but our spirit lives forever. Animals don't have that privilege. And so that is why God is concerned with you. And that is why every single choice that you make will determine where you will live for the rest of your life. You see, friends, this life, this world, it's not all about what you can have and what you can get. It really, really isn't. Yes, Jesus blesses us. He blesses us and gives us things to enjoy. Because life is enjoyable when you have maybe a warm coat or you have food in the refrigerator. It's enjoyable. But that is not what life is made up of, the things that we have. Life is life and light in Jesus Christ. Jesus says our life is hid in Him. And so, friends, I started out with a double-barrel shotgun. I apologize. That is what the Holy Spirit would have me to say to someone who's listening. Don't give up. It's not over. It's never over until you leave this earth. And then our true lives really, truly begin when we leave this earth. But don't give up, saints. It's not over. Yes, we are living out the biblical last days. I understand that. And these are the times when we should be even more hot, not cold, not lukewarm. Because when a person is lukewarm, when they're wishy-washy, they don't know what to do. Jesus says He wishes that you were hot or cold, because then He could You know, he could deal. He knows where you stand. And we request that of other people. But this is the time, saints, to be on fire. And if someone says, Aaliyah, I lost my fire. I don't know where to get it. Go back to the basics. Go back to your first love. If you've lost your fire, you've lost the willingness, you've lost the fire to witness to others about salvation, you've lost it. Maybe you're in a relationship where the other person doesn't believe like you are, and you feel like they're bringing you down, but you still love Jesus. Go back to your first love. And your first love is right here in the Bible. It's a book. It's called the Bible. That's your first love. And just simply ask, you know, if a person's in a relationship and they want to know why their husband or wife is not as intimate or compassionate about them like they were in the beginning, you can simply ask them. And if they won't give you an answer, then you have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Ask Jesus if you're not wanting to give tracts out, if you don't have that fire, ask him. And then he may show you, he will show you. You have unforgiveness. There's hidden sin, your envy, your jealous. There is something that is dampening your fire, and it could possibly be sin. Most likely it's unforgiveness. Please, please, please hear me. It is so vital that we return to our first love, that we get our lamps filled with oil and keep them with oil by living a holy life. Because Jesus Christ is returning to this earth. He is coming back to rapture his saints. It is vitally important that you make your decision. If you have backslidden, if you're on the fence about whether to believe Christ, I implore you, ask. Ask God to show himself to you. If that's what you need, he will. If that's what you need to make a decision, he will. There is absolutely no more time. There's no more time. I implore you to repent of your sins, to live a holy life that is pleasing to God, to read your Bible, to witness to others. Hell is it's a real place. Heaven is a real place. And like you, I too have to repent. I too have to repent and seek God and seek his face daily. And I implore you to seek God and to ask him, where is it? And to evaluate yourself to see if you're in the faith. Evaluate your life and to ask him, Jesus, where did I miss it? And even if you're not missing it, ask anyway, Father, am I okay? Am I pleasing to you? Is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You know, I'm getting into the meat of the matter, saints, because that's what it's come to. I want to be raptured. I want you to be raptured. The only people that will be raptured are those that are living a holy life, are those whom Jesus personally knows. You know, for example, if someone came knocking at your door and they call you by your first name, and you don't know them, you're going to ask questions. Who are you? Why have you come here? Jesus will say the same thing. If you do those things that are not of him. Jesus, did we not cast out demons in your name? Jesus, did we not do these things in your name? Depart from me. I never knew you. Praise God. So I just wanted to tell you that because I love you and the time is short. And like you, I too have to be on my face and on my knees seeking the Lord, seeking to be pleasing and worthy of his kingdom every single day. I am not exempt. He uses people to help. other people. He uses his apostles to draw other people. He uses his apostles because they are sent to others. And so as I am sent to you, I implore you to please listen to Jesus as he knocks on your heart and repent, repent, repent. Forgive everyone. When it comes down to it, it really isn't that important what you're upset about that person about. I know a lot of you have things that are far more important and that have happened to you that are extremely great and sorrowful. And it does take more time to get over that. But I'm asking you to please forgive that person. Forgive them and let it go. Life is short. Time is even shorter. So please, forgive that person. Love them. Get healthy. And move on. It's time. It's time to move on. So, after saying that, I am going to play a song. I hope you like it. It's called More Than Enough. I'll be right back. Again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for archiving the show. And I love you so much.
Oh,
praise God. Is Jesus more than enough for you? Is He more than enough for you? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Is Jesus more than enough for you? I pray that He is, because Jesus is an all-consuming fire, and He should be more than enough for the Christian, because it is not man, it is not our husbands or our wives or our children that completes us. The Bible says that it's Jesus who completes us. Amen. I hope you enjoyed that song. I like that song because it's just a reminder of how great God's love is for us. And Jesus does love you, and I love you too. The name of the title of our show is called Humble, and I sought the Lord. Always, this is His radio show, just a mouthpiece. That's what we're called as ministers, born again believers. We're ministers, and we're called to open our mouths to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws the person to the Father. It's not our job to drag or to draw someone. We just simply have to open our mouth. God's word is capable, is powerful enough to go through that person and right to the spirit of that person, right where they need it. That's where it'll go, because God's word does not return void. So the title of this show is called Humble, and the reason God wanted me to speak on this, because I have life experience, not because I'm anything special, but because God wants to use what I have in order to minister to someone else. Being humble is not something that we're born with. Being humble, as the Bible said that Jesus had to learn patience through experience and sufferings, we have to learn to be humble. And within humble, it has plenty of roommates and cousins, patience, all the fruit of the Spirit. Humble is very important to God, because Jesus says, the Father actually says, that He resists the proud. And He gives what? He gives grace to the humble. So when we look at humility, we cannot help to notice its antithesis, which is pride. Pride will cast a person down faster than any other thing. Pride is what causes destruction. It's what causes wars. It's what causes divorce. It's what causes someone to descend into hell, because pride prevents a person from repenting. It is an unforgiveness. Pride encapsulates many, 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 many sins. And being humble opens the person up to receive, opens the heart of the person to receive forgiveness, to receive their brother, to receive what God will have them to give. I'm going to give you a dictionary definition of humble. And it simply states, a humble person is not proud. Remember, it's the antithesis of pride. It's not thinking of yourself as better than other people. Being humble is showing that you do not think of yourself as better, or you're not haughty or arrogant or assertive. Being humble, in a biblical sense, it means having the ability to listen to God. That's the biblical sense of being humble. Being humble means that you trust your life to God so much that you will trust and do what He says. Being prideful, however, says, I don't need God. I don't need to repent. I've done nothing wrong. I lived a good life. I go to church. I tithe. I don't need to repent. I lead a good life. I don't do anybody wrong. That's pride. In 1 John, in the first epistle, the epistles of John, the Holy Spirit speaking through John says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. Looking through a glass darkly, you don't know from where you came. So being humble is the opposite of being prideful. Being prideful says, I can do everything myself. I don't need no one's help. I've earned this money. I got this job on my own. I got this house on my own. I got this car all by myself. I don't need anybody. That's pride. Humility is not being someone's doormat. Sometimes it looks like you are, but you're not. That's called meekness. Being humble means that you surrender. Listen, being humble means you surrender to the call of God on your life. You have surrendered to the call of God on your life. You trust him when he says, I don't want you to marry that person. You trust him when he says, I don't want you to buy that car. You trust him when he says, no, don't go that way, go this way. You trust him when he says, no, that's not what I want you to raise your child. I want you to raise your child this way. Being humble boils down to one thing, obedience. When you see a humble person, you see an obedient person. Because that person says, Lord, I'm not going to do my own way. I'm not going to go my own way. I believe the word of God, and I'm ministering to myself. The Holy Spirit is ministering to me if I'm ministering to you, because these are his words, not mine. Being humble says, Father, I trust you. Your word is the infallible truth. Your word, the Bible, is true. And I trust what it says, and I'm going to do what it says, no matter the circumstances, no matter what this world says. Father, I believe. And then you go about doing it. There's so much in being humble. It's so much. There's so much in how it carries out into our life. As a wife, being humble shows respect to your husband. When you know what your husband said is wrong, but you're humble because you believe what God's word says. If your husband is an unbeliever, how the wife through her conversation will win her husband over to the Lord. That's in I believe it's 1 Peter. Being humble is being obedient to the word of God, because God's word will teach us how to be humble. Because God says, the person who is prideful, he abased. Abase means to cast down, make low. But the humble person, God will exalt. And you said, Aaliyah, and I have about 3 minutes and 46 seconds of my show. You say, Aaliyah, okay, I get it. Being humble means being obedient. Being humble means submitting to the will of God. Being humble means to learn to listen to my husband. Okay, Aaliyah, I get it, but how do I be humble? Thank you for asking. I think that's a great question. A smart person will ask, how do I do a thing? How do you be humble? You learn by example. You learn by example to be humble. Humility requires patience. Humility requires submission. Humility requires submission to the Word of God. That's being humble. Submission to the Word of God. For example, God says, how do we keep our body holy? This is the will of God, even our sanctification, to abstain from fornication. This is dealing with your flesh. Your flesh can speak to you. Keeping your body under subjection so you won't be a laughing stock as a Christian. Humility is saying, God, I trust your word. You have something better for me. I submit to you. Humility is submission to God's word. Humility is taught by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, teach me how to be a humble person, and He'll teach you. Someone might, at work, they might say, you did a great job today. You did a really great job.
Oh, yeah. I did it all myself. Thank you very much.
And that might be true, but is that the right way to say that? Humility is not boasting itself. Humility is not taking all the credit. And that's just one example. But being humble as a Christian, we have to start with the, we have to go back and start with the basics. Because from our spirit, from our heart, that's where all the, our heart is where all the issues of life is. And we have to train our soul. We have to train our spirit to be in line with the Word of God. And so I'm going to have a part two on this subject because I've only touched on a little, not a little bit, I have only touched on what part of what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say, but there's more I want to say about this subject. I want to tell you that I look forward to talking with you and just ministering to you as the Holy Spirit leads me. I want to say you have a beautiful, blessed week, and I look forward to speaking with you again. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a wonderfully blessed week.